Today is Tuesday, August 28th, and I hereby welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Esports Talk. I am DT and I'm the host of the show. Thank you very much for joining me. I actually intended on taking a 2-week break, so I just wanted to skip one episode. I ended up skipping two, as you might have noticed last week when there wasn't an episode. So I took an even longer break than I anticipated. I think that coincided with a general regular break in the Counter-Strike ecosystem, I guess. Not really, though, because and then we'll get to that in a minute, because we have actually quite some news items to talk about, and we will do that now. We will sum up what happened in the last 3 weeks of the CSGO, I don't know, but CSGO news and topics, I guess. And we will obviously talk about the Zotac Cup Masters, which took place last weekend. Maybe we will talk about the IEM Chicago Closed Qualifiers as well. Then we will close the action recap of this episode, and then we will talk about general news items like Cloud9 signing Golden to a permanent deal, the thing with Stuko and Cloud9, NTC roster changes. We will actually talk about Bialy as well, and then we will see what we can find, what else we can find and we can talk about. So let's get started. We will have a pretty long episode, I guess. I'm not sure, but I guess. So let's get started. So let's get started with the Zotac Cup Masters 2018 Grand Finals, which took place starting from Friday until Sunday in Hong Kong, China, and it featured 8 teams. It was a prize pool of $300,000, and in the end, it was MIBR who took the victory, who were victorious after the tournament ended. And, well, they won 7 maps. They won 7-0 in maps throughout the whole tournament. They won, like I said, $200,000 for winning this tournament. And yeah, they had to face Flash Gaming, MVP, and Kingwin for that. Which, yeah, well, let me just say that some teams had to work harder to win a similar amount of money in the past. So they can actually be, MIBR would definitely be happy about that. It's the first tournament that they won on the MIBR banner, whatever. And they looked impressive. They had a good showing. They knew what they wanted to do when they did it. They executed it well. If that's now because of the new coach already, or if it isn't, I guess that it didn't hurt that they got the new coach, which is an improvement. I believe they did a good job of, yeah. Like I said before, they executed what they wanted to do quite well. Stewie, Coldzera, and Fallen had the best, are the three best rated players of the tournament, right in front of Vardell, who, yeah, in Ghost actually had a great tournament as well. They did really well going into the semifinals . The initial matchups were just determined, and then there was a bracket from there. So they first beat Optic, Ghost Gaming, that is. Beat Optic in the first round, and then they lost out against Kingwin quite narrowly, but it is what it is. They still had a good showing. Ghost did, and Kingwin did as well, going into the finals. Well, they beat Tailu in the first round, which is also impressive. Tailu was now the first, or just last week, 2 weeks ago, has been the first team to get, the first Asian team to get into the top 10 of the HLTV rankings. And yeah, Kingwin beat them. Of course, after player break, maybe the players aren't really up to the level that they should be going into a tournament like this. Maybe that was the case. Maybe there was another case. Maybe Kingwin was just that good. It's always hard to get the feeling out of that from one series, especially looking at Tailu here. They only play one series now and can't really make too much conclusions from that. Same goes for Optic, in my opinion. There's been a lot of talk about Optic not practicing hard enough and problems being there for them, for the team, which doesn't really make sense for me because, well, they aren't really that together that long. So if they actually have these problems right now, that's a bad sign, not only for the team but for the players that are in that team. When there's no hunger, what are you playing for? You know what I mean? It's early for them. It would be quite early for them to lose motivation or to not even have had motivation, if that's the case. Let's move on. Let's move on from Optic. Talking about MIBR again, they of course did win this tournament. They won $200,000. And they build up quite nice confidence. They had a good confidence boost, I guess, going from the tournament, now traveling back to Europe. Or yeah, I guess to Europe, because next tournament in a few days is Stockholm, is in Stockholm, DreamHack Masters, which will kick off tomorrow actually. And yeah, they will. I'm not sure if they will actually play on Wednesday. Yes, tomorrow. I don't think so. With them being in Group D. Oh no, I was lying. They actually play on Wednesday already. 4:30 p.m. Local time. Or no, yeah, no, local time. They will actually play there as well. So then, don't really have a lot of time to acclimate for going from China to Sweden here. And many people actually said or thought that this would be a problem, or this wouldn't be that smart of them to take a tournament like this, tournament booking like this, and then actually having to travel in 3 days across I don't know, time zone difference from like 6 or 7 hours. But MIBR did it, and I don't think you can fault them for that, because I'm pretty sure I would have done the same, especially looking at the situation and looking at them individually. From the fact that this is easy money for them, and this is a good way to build some notoriety on the Chinese continent, or on the Asian continent, of course, Chinese continent, the Asian continent, of course. And yeah, I think that they did a good choice there. But yeah, we will see what they will do in Stockholm, because of course Stockholm is a DreamHack Masters event. It's a really important event, not going into the Intel Grand Slam for them now especially, but for maybe the other teams it would be quite important. But when you look at the prize pool, then you have a $250,000 prize pool, and like I said, MIBR just won 200,000 by beating three inferior teams. So from that point on, I guess they did good. They, like I said, they made the right choice. Do I have anything else to say about the Zotac Cup Masters? I don't believe so. I just talked about Optic. Yeah, Virtus Pro lost in the first round as well, and they lost against MVP, which, yeah, was the biggest upset in my opinion. Or on paper, it is the biggest upset in the first round. Although King Queen beat Tai Lu, and although Ghost beat Optic, MVP, the Koreans, beating Virtus Pro is, yeah, it's not really crazy, because it's still Virtus Pro that they beat, but it's so remarkable in my opinion that they were able to do that to Virtus Pro, and especially when Virtus Pro picked up Snatchy and last tournament IEM Shanghai, they didn't look that bad. Yeah, if you can say that. I don't think that they looked like, when you looked at their performance in Shanghai, especially the way that they lost against Tai Lu in the semis, you wouldn't really have thought that they would come back and lose against MVP in a best of three series. But this is what happened as well. Yeah, it's crazy to think that King Win is a better team now than Virtus Pro is. We don't really know where Ago stands, because of course Snatchy was from Ago like three or 4 weeks ago. He was still there. But they signed a new Opa. Yeah, Polish scene is interesting as well. But yeah, Virtus Pro, I don't know what to say about them, because I'm not really sure what the path will be for them. Of course, they will be in the new challenger stage in a few weeks for the major, and we will see them there again. So we can only hope, if you're a Virtus Pro fan, you can only hope that they will be better from the, they will go and improve in London, of course. 2 weeks ago, IM Oakland turned into IM Chicago, and from Thursday until Saturday, we had, now this past week, we had the Europe Close Qualifier and the North America Close Qualifier, where three spots were on the line, two in Europe and one in North America, to qualify, where the teams could qualify for, like I said, IM Chicago. We actually had a lot of invites as well already, and yeah, I guess there will actually be more of them. Am I wrong in the in believing that? I think there's one South America close qualifier still coming up. We also had an Asia qualifier. That was last week actually. And yeah, we would still have the yeah, we would still have the South America close qualifier, which will take place starting on Wednesday. And with that, there will only be one team missing, which will actually still be invited. I hope I'm right when I look at this right now, but I'm pretty sure that I am. Now maybe we'll start with the Asia qualifier, which took place last week, and MVP was actually, yeah, was the team that won the spot, and they will actually travel to Chicago as soon as the tournament starts, which will be in November, early November. Yeah. They beat Flash in the end. They actually beat them twice throughout the whole tournament. No, they didn't. I just looked at that the wrong way. Yeah, they beat Flash in the final, in the best of five final, 3-1, and they, yeah, secured the spot. Not much to say there. I guess there's not really much to add. Obviously, it was a 3-0. Maybe I should clarify that. Flash coming from the upper bracket, they actually had a map advantage, and then MVP just yeah, handed them a quick loss with three consecutive maps, where they beat them. Yeah, so MVP travels to IM Chicago, like I said, and the Europe Close qualifier. Yeah, the first place was taken by Avangar or Evangar. Who I actually talked about on this podcast as well, a few weeks or month or five weeks ago. I'm not really sure when that was, but yeah, I talked about them a lot, and I talked about them missing out on the major qualification because they lost out on that in the minor. They didn't progress from the minor to the major or to the challenger stage in the major. And yeah, I attributed that to lack of practice and maybe lack of taking it seriously, taking all of that seriously. But yeah, since then they were actually more active again. They, yeah, especially in August. Let me just say that, especially in August, they played a lot of officials. And yeah, six of them were actually for the IM Chicago Europe Open and Closed qualifier. They had actually had to go through the open qualifier to go to the close qualifier, and they did that. Yeah, and in the end, in the close qualifier, they beat Heroic, they beat Gambit, and they beat Ents for yeah, the spot in the at IM Chicago. And yeah, this it was actually quite crisp. Near versus Ents, they lost the map, but other than that, they did a good job. In yeah, qualifying, and the second spot was actually then taken by North, who had to go through the loser bracket after they lost against Ents. Then they beat Gambit there, they beat Heroic there as well before, and then they beat Ents to secure the second spot in at IM Chicago in a best of three. Yeah, they went through and they got a win over them. It was quite close. They lost out on Mirage, then they beat them on Inferno and Nuke, but those were all close maps. Yeah. What else is there to say? Other than that they got these slots and they did a good job. Now there's then now there are teams missing out, of course, like Gambit, like Heroic, like Space Soldiers, who actually lost against Ents and Gambit to get out of the tournament. And of course Ents actually lost out on it as well. Fairly close. Once again, it's always heartbreaking to see that they when they lose out on going to an offline event that narrowly, and they come that close, but it is what it is. Now moving on to the North American close qualifier, we have EU United, who moved on to IEM Chicago now, who got their one slot. And yeah, in the end, in the final, they beat Cloud9, which devastated the Cloud9 members. I actually read from Stuko on Twitter that he was actually really hurt by that result. Because now, as I said, the winner always gets a 1-0, 1-0 advantage due to coming from the upper bracket, and Cloud9 actually got that, and they still lost. They lost on Mirage, they lost on Overpass, and they won on Cage, and then in the end, on the fifth and or on the fourth map, and then in that case, on the deciding map, on the last map, they lost in overtime, in double overtime. Yeah, which is always heartbreaking, I guess. Which can always be quite hard to fathom, to accept, especially when you feel like, which Cloud9 at this point they have to feel like they have to get into these tournaments, they have to move on from this, they can't be stuck in a close qualifier for an offline event when you are the organization that are the current major winners. It's quite insane when you think about how quick things can change in the Counter-Strike ecosystem, which we actually love Counter-Strike for, I guess. But on the other hand, yeah, it's insane when you make these changes that quickly. This is actually also a debate for the major qualifying system when you see Windstrike, who formerly have been from Quantum Bellator Fire, not really get anything done in the last few months. And then they play another best of one against a new lineup from Quantum Bellator Fire, and they lose that. Why are they at the major? Why are they at the legend stage? These questions will have to be answered in the future, I believe. And yeah, when you look at Cloud9 now moving back on to the IEM Chicago close qualifier, when you're Cloud9 and you lose against United, of course, made it to the major through the minor as well. So it's not like they are pushovers, but still. From the image that they have of themselves now, Cloud9, talking about Cloud9 again, they would have to, I don't know, the self-concept that they have, or that they should have, doesn't allow them to think that okay, it's okay to lose against the United in such a series, especially when we have a 1-0 advantage. Yeah, it's shocking that this happened, but that's the way it is. And this actually closes out IEM Chicago talk, because now we have, like I said, the South American qualifier coming up this week, even tomorrow, as I said before. And yeah, then there's one more slot open, and maybe this will be filled by an invite, or there will be another qualifier announced. So yeah, this closes out the IEM Chicago talk for this week. Well, while we were talking about Cloud9, we can actually talk about the fact that they, yeah, it's almost 3 weeks ago. So, if they would have done it a few days earlier, then this would have been a topic on the last episode of this podcast. But now that it isn't, maybe that's not really that much news for people that are listening to this, which are you guys. But yeah, Cloud9 signed Golden to a permanent deal to their Counter-Strike roster. And yeah, this is an interesting move, because they actually had him stand in for the League Premier The first time, and well, this was the only time that he would be a stand-in because he's now the new in-game leader. Permanent one, like I said, he's officially a Cloud9 member now. And well, their statement reads that coaches, players, and myself, who is now then Cloud9 owner and CEO Jack, were impressed with the professionalism and structure Golden brought to our team. And the organization is thrilled to be moving forward with him as a part of Cloud9. So I don't know if that's a dig to FNS. I don't think it is. He was supposed to be their solution for the in-game leader position, which he didn't turn out to be. A costly mistake for them in the end. But yeah, if you're not willing to make mistakes, then you're not going to go. Then you're not going to move forward. Yeah, that's the way it goes in the scene. But yeah, it's interesting that they actually chose to sign Golden that quickly, when they had him as a stand-in for one tournament. But yeah, I actually talked about that in the last episode, if I remember correctly, or if it wasn't the last episode, it was in the episode before that. That they would have to think about who they would sign, if they would sign Golden or Stiko. When they were looking at someone else, maybe Scream or maybe someone else who would actually add more firepower. And yeah, Golden is the obvious pick here, between Golden and Stiko, because it was actually quite clear before this statement and before they signed him that they were impressed with Golden's in-game leadership and what he brought to the team from a tactical perspective and I don't know, from a perspective that of an in-game leader, like I said, that they didn't really have before. They had it with FNS. They tried it with FNS and it didn't work because Tarik and the others didn't feel like confirming to that. And now they have Golden, who apparently has the respect and the authority to command such a position. And if you find someone like that, you're not really that eager to get rid of him again, usually. Or maybe if you are called Imperial and you have a 17-year-old player on your team that isn't really too keen on the current in-game leader, then maybe you get rid of him. But yeah, if you're not that, then you don't really do that, and you shouldn't do that. And in-game leader is a really important position. If you have a good one, then you should stick with him, as long as you feel you have a good one, as long as you feel that he provides something to the team that they wouldn't else have. Yeah, and Golden is that now for Cloud9, which is a good thing for them. And yeah, actually, the next step, then talking about the Cloud9 roster moves, is that they then confirmed that Stuko stays with the team until the September, as a stand-in though, so they haven't signed him to a permanent deal yet, which must be a bad situation for Stuko, because he's thinking, well, I've been with the team longer than Golden, I have stood in for more tournaments, and I'm supposed to stand in for another tournament, and well, I think two more tournaments, if I am reading this correctly, and if I think about that correctly, because the news that I read is that he will stand in until Istanbul, and yeah, that's after the major, right? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. And yeah, so it's a tricky situation for him, and it's a tricky situation for the organization as well, because yeah. If you're not really planning on playing with Stuko permanently, why would you keep him as a stand-in? And why would you keep him as a stand-in if you don't really think about wanting to play with him for a longer period of time? So both things don't really make sense in a way, because maybe to clarify that point a little bit more, if you don't think about sticking with him and maybe signing him to a permanent deal, why do you keep him as a stand-in? If you don't think about that, then why don't you sign him to a permanent deal? Why do you keep him as a stand-in if you think that he would be a long-term solution? So I don't really know what's going on there. Maybe they are not really sure about who they can get. And yeah, from my personal opinion, I think that they are just keeping him around until they can find a proper replacement for him, because they, now that they have Golden as an in-game leader who isn't really that huge on firepower as well, and like I said in last episode, they really lack that and they need more firepower. Then I think that this is a situation of, okay, who's the guy that we can get who's better than Stuko, who has more fiber? Not even better than Stuko, but better for the position that they want to have. So Stuko is a good player, and I think that Cloud9 knows that, and I think everyone knows that. But for the position that they want someone for, then maybe Stuko isn't the right fit. And then until they have someone that fits better, then maybe, I guess, it doesn't hurt to have Stuko around. But yeah, it's weird, and I'm pretty sure that after this extended period of time, we will have Cloud9 with a new permanent fifth player who isn't Stuko. But of course, things can change, and this is not an information that I got from anyone. This is just my pure speculation. But yeah, like I said, I'm pretty convinced that we will have a new permanent fifth member for Cloud9, and he isn't Stuko. I think that I've read a lot that people were eager to see announced that Cloud9 has signed Scream, but this would actually make sense because of the next news that I will try to talk to you about, or if I would want to talk to you about. But yeah, it doesn't happen. It didn't happen until now, and we will see if it will happen at a later stage. Because we might look at a new French team on the horizon, who, yeah, a team that is, I guess, waiting for us to form itself. And Nel for VP Esports came out with an article and a report about 2 weeks ago where he said that Apex, NBK, RPK, ZywOo, and Happy are about to team up. And with the vacancy in the French scene right now, with only really G2 and LDLC, and well, maybe 3D Max, being there for a scene that is way larger than only being there for three teams in total. And of course, yeah, Apex and MBK being on G2 bench, and all the others are being free. Happy, RPK, of course, and then Scream and Kyushima as well. Also being free, and there are a lot of other players that are free as well. XMS maybe, or like I said, ZywOo as well, who, yeah, will burst onto the scene soon as well. Yeah, and it will be interesting to see how these teams will how this team will actually come about, if it does, because yeah, they of course needs to be an organization that is ready to buy out NBK, Apex, and ZywOo. All three of them need to be bought out of their contracts. And of course, we have a few French organizations that are that would be able to do that because of the money. But well, you need to be ready to do that, especially when you look at the price tags that NBK and Apex are at, where G2 are, yeah, of course, asking for a ridiculous sum of money in that case. But yeah, this is a team that may be on the horizon soon. It's interesting to see that French players, yeah, are able to come together, although of personal differences and stuff like that. There's not really a scene that another scene in Europe or in the world actually, where you have that many discrepancies between players and I don't know, flow charts between where you are able to visualize the relationships between players, and this player doesn't work with that player and he doesn't like him, and there are tensions between these players and stuff like that. And then in the end you look at the lineups and you think, huh, how are these players are going, how is this really happening, how are these players going to work out together? And it happens, or it works for a certain period of time, until something else breaks and there's another player that doesn't like another player and things like that happen. But yeah, in the end, we're actually here to watch Counter-Strike and to enjoy the play and the gameplay. And if these players can form a competitive team, which from the lineup I think they would be able to, then it would be interesting for us to see. But of course, the question remains that, yeah, who will be these players who? Who will the organization be that will be able to buy these players and give them a home that they would all be happy with? And this is something that, of course, we will have to wait and see if that actually happens. And with that, we arrived at the end of this week's episode. You know the drill by now. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other remarks, please let me know on social media. As always, all the important links are in the show notes of this episode. If you want to voice your opinion about this podcast, I would really appreciate a rating on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this right now. Any kind of feedback is highly appreciated. Finally, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you guys next week. See ya!